What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Gators Online Show. I am Keith Niebuhr. That is Zach Albaverde, senior reporter of Gators Online. And we're going to break down the upcoming NCAA tournament for the Florida Gators, who are a number one seed out west. But we're also going to look back at last weekend's SEC tournament championship run by the Gators. An incredible few days for the Florida basketball program, and obviously for the entire fan base. And Zach was up in Nashville, so he's going to kind of take us through the ins and outs of what he experienced up there on the court and also on Broadway. We're going to find out what Zach was up to when he wasn't working. But before we do any of that, we've got to start off the show, as we always do, by paying some bills. Zach, what do you got for us today?
Well, absolutely, Keith. Thanks for the intro. And as you guys know, we've got our new sponsor right here, Big Football Factory. And they've obviously hooked us up with this awesome football that I know you guys have seen before. Florida's already been using it the first week of practice. This is the official game ball that they're going to use in 2025. And you guys can get your hands on it. All you got to do is go to biggameusa.com/Gators. Use the code Gators Online to get 10% off your entire order and shipping for free. The Gators designed this ball with Big Game USA to ensure that they're comfortable with it, so it's truly one of a kind. Start your collection of Florida's official game balls today. It's the perfect order for tailgates, autographs from your favorite Gators, or gifts. And the code works on any football. And this isn't just a football. It's a piece of Florida history, perfect for true Florida fans to display it or give it as a gift. Be among the first Gator fans to own it. You can snap yours today at biggameusa.com/Gators. And again, use that promo code Gators Online. And Keith, eventually we're going to get you one, man.
Well, I thought about stealing one in practice, but I was afraid that Deontre Robinson might tackle me into the turf and break me into 19 different pieces. But no, it's a great gift, and we encourage everybody to check that out. Now, Zach, last week you went up to Nashville and you witnessed history. Both of us went on the road this year and witnessed history. I got lucky and saw Florida beat a number one team on the road, Auburn, for the first time ever. Being a number one team away from they've done it away from home, but not on the road. They were at neutral site. And then now you've got to see Florida win its first SEC tournament title since 2014. By the way, the last time Florida went to the Final Four, I believe, was that year as well. And only the fifth SEC tournament title all time for the Florida Gators. Now, we need to point out, in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, they didn't really do the tournament. But from 79 on, they've had it every year. Yeah. And Florida's now won. All five have been this century. This is an elite basketball school, whether people on the outside want to accept that or not. It is, all right? Five Final Fours, four of them this century, five SEC tournament titles, all in this century. But, Zach, what are some of your, you do this great column after the game's takeaways. So let's use that phrase. What were some of your takeaways from Nashville? And then we can maybe break down some individual game performances.
Yeah, it's funny to think of a team like Florida with as dominant as they've been, as highly ranked as they've been, some of the wins that they've had, like you mentioned, obviously the big one at Auburn. It's funny to think of them as underdogs, right, this year. But I think internally, and they've talked about it all season long, that is how they kind of feel. From the smaller schools that they came from, both as transfers and as coaches, to the way some of these guys were ranked as recruits, they felt like underdogs. They felt like they're at a place like the University of Florida, which you mentioned, Keith, it is a big-time basketball school, and they maybe are on a bigger stage than people ever thought that they could be, and they've kind of had that chip on their shoulder all season long. Well, going into Nashville, they got even more ammunition. They got even more reason to be motivated, and that was the snubs that they got in the SEC awards. Obviously, the big one that everybody talked about was Todd Golden and Bruce Pearl getting that nod over him. But you also had Elijah Martin not making the all-defensive team. Todd also thought that Will Richard deserved some type of accolades for the season that he had. He thought maybe Ruben Chinyelu also could have earned a spot on the all-defensive team. And obviously, Thomas Hout, many thought, was deserving of sixth man of the year. He didn't get it over Caleb Grill, which – Todd did admit that was one that he was okay with, I guess you could say. Nonetheless, though, it gave this team even more motivation going into Nashville. Todd said it. They wanted to make a statement. And, you know, to come out like that with those type of comments and then to go there knowing that they had that on their back. And also everybody was talking about that they still needed to win some games to secure a number one seed. I think that made them feel some type of way. I'll just put it like that. So they came out there to prove a point, Keith, and they did that with the three games that they won. It was a little bit of a revenge tour as well, because they got to beat two of the teams that handed them their two of the four losses that they had during the regular season in Missouri and in Tennessee. And even again, going into that Tennessee game in the title matchup, that there was still some talk about if Florida needed to beat the Vols to get the one seed over them. I know that they thought that that was ridiculous, especially after the way that they beat Alabama in the semifinals. So I do think it would have been nice for the Gators to maybe get a matchup against Kentucky so that they had a chance to beat three teams that beat them during the regular season. And I think they would have blew Kentucky out of the water if they faced them in Nashville. But nonetheless, maybe it was good for them to get another matchup with Alabama, because it showed that what happened in Tuscaloosa was not a fluke. And then, of course, that probably one of the biggest stats that came out of the weekend, Keith, is that they set the SEC tournament record for points in a game with 104 scored against Alabama of all the teams. So, so much that was kind of made history there this past weekend. Oh, you're on mute.
I'm on mute. I do this all the time. Jack, a show is not going to go by without you spitting out knowledge and me having some technical glitch that's my undoing. Just everybody's got to get used to it. But I always see myself as being sort of a Gators basketball historian from 1981 to 1992. We couldn't afford season tickets for football, but we could afford them for basketball because we got in when they sucked, quite frankly, Zach. So we got in early, and we had those tickets right up to the time until my dad passed away in 1992. And so I've always kind of loved digging into the history, and I'm with you. I don't necessarily see it as a snub, but I personally, trying to pull myself away from this and be as impartial as humanly possible, we do cover the University of Florida, and you and I went to the University of Florida, but Golden would have been my choice for SEC Coach of the Year. I see both sides to it. I lean Golden 70-30 over Bruce Pearl. The other players, the players that weren't honored, I don't actually have as much of a problem with that, Zach, because Zach, there's now 16 teams in this league. And there are guys that weren't on first, second, or third team that are going to be 10-year starters in the NBA. It is now the most competitive SEC basketball league in the country. But I like
and I do think the other thing, I think one of the bigger snubs, Elijah Martin, he was hurt, you know, so that I think that did probably hurt him.
Probably. You know, there's not a lot of spots. There's not a lot of spots anymore, man. And the reality of it is, and those diehard Gator fans listening, there's some of you that are older than me, I hope to God. But, you know, in the early to mid-80s, Zach, there were some teams that weren't that good, and early 90s as well. But the best player on that team, had he been on Kentucky's roster in 1982, would have been a second-team All-America. I speak of Ronnie Williams, of Eugene McDowell. Those were guys that were not first-team All-SEC picks. So I see every side of it. But what I love about Zach is that Todd talked about it. He's letting his guys know that he's – I think this guy belongs here. That's how good he's been. He understands the psychological aspects involved here too. Sure. What does it hurt for him to spend 30 seconds to talk about why he thinks Elijah Martin should have been made some All-SEC? But it's good for Elijah Martin to hear that from his coach. I love Todd. I think he gets that element of it. You know him much better than I do. I only met him the time that you introduced me to him, Zach. But what a great run. The win over Alabama, and you're talking about a team that if Alabama wins that game, maybe they're the number one seed in the tournament, and maybe Florida isn't, Zach. That was an important game, and Florida played so brilliantly in the second half, much like they did in the win at Tuscaloosa. And they now beat, I think about this, 2-0 versus Alabama, and neither of those games were at home. Now, and that Alabama team was in the Final Four last year. The two best players from that team, or two of the three best players, Nelson and Sears, back this year, Mark Sears also being first team All-American on the AP team with Walter Clayton. Like, legit dudes on that team. A coach that just took his team to the Final Four. Alabama played an incredible non-conference schedule and easily could have been a number one seed had they won that game. Huge win. And then to beat Tennessee, Zach, in Nashville, you were there. Was it all Vols fans there? I mean, I know the Florida fans were there. But you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I had a fan behind me that was losing his mind the entire game. Was not happy with some of the calls, obviously, but it was a home game for the Vols. It was very similar to me to the Florida-North Carolina game that they had earlier in the season, the Jumpman Invitational that was in Charlotte. It was a ton of UNC fans in there. Again, Florida never got down in the SEC championship game like they did in the Jumpman Invitational. They had to rally to come back and beat North Carolina. I do think that environment probably somewhat helped prepare them for what they saw on Sunday in Nashville. And that was just that was icing on the cake, Keith, right? Like, yeah, to be able to win that game against a team that you split regular season series with, and to do it in that fashion is just kind of the perfect way to kind of put the top on the season.
I was looking at the bracket, and it's like, okay, you got the top four seeds in the SEC, and really the top eight seeds are all legit good teams, yeah, right? I mean, 14 of them made the NCAA tournament. But those top four, Auburn number one, Florida went 1-0 against Auburn. Tennessee, I think they finished they were the fourth seed. 2-1 against them. Alabama 2-0. So 5-1 against three teams that were all, one of them ended up a one seed, two of them ended up two seeds. 5-1. That's historic in Florida basketball history. Now, look, again, they've won national titles. I get all that. And maybe they'll win another one, and hopefully they'll win another one. But that is something that even those teams didn't do.
Sure.
They played a different schedule and all that. They were up to the challenge of their time, and obviously the greatest two teams in Florida history. But it's remarkable what this team's done, Zach. And again, you mentioned this earlier, no five-star guys, but what they've got is they've got a little bit of everything. Let me rephrase that, a lot of everything. And it's a remarkably well put together team. When did it hit you? You had a great story on Tuesday. Today's Wednesday's record. You had a great story Tuesday about when Todd Golden realized that he had something special. But you cover this team daily. You're at practice. You're at the media interview. When did it hit you? That's what I want to know. When did you think these guys might have something?
Yeah, it's interesting to look back on their year now and kind of see when those signs were. Todd is very gracious enough to let the media come in and watch all of practice. He doesn't hold anything back. He's out there giving his message to the team. It's obviously all off the record, but we're able to see practice, and he lets the media come in and check out how he runs things. And you kind of knew there, seeing the pieces, that they had a deep roster and that they had a lot of talent. And they were definitely going to feature their front court because, as you know, Keith, there's a lot of teams out there in college basketball that run with four guard lineups. And, I think the Gators could do that if they needed to. But so early in the summer, you kind of saw it. For me, I'll be honest, like, when they beat Tennessee, that was the game that Todd said that he realized that they could be special. I could see that. But when it was confirmed was when they won at Auburn. And I wasn't there for that. You were there and covered that game. But like when they went there and won in the jungle and snapped that long winning streak that Auburn had at home, and they did it in the fashion that they did without Elijah Martin in the lineup, that told me that this has the potential to be like a Final Four team. And to be honest, I went to Nashville thinking that they were going to win it. That was expectation.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. Look, Walter Clayton this year, we can't go in deep into everything, but the first team All-American in Florida Gators basketball history, which is incredible. He's also been named first team by the Sporting News, which is one of the main All-America organizations, groups that put together All-America teams, and AP, the Associated Press. That's the big one. That's the one everybody knows. So he gets a lot of attention. Condon's gotten a lot of attention, a lot of these guys. But who is the one guy on this team that you think, they got a lot of dudes, but this guy probably needs to be getting more attention than he's getting. Who would it be? Is there one guy? No, we didn't pre-plan any of this, so I'm just throwing this out here.
I mean, to be honest, I guess it's hard for me to say this because he just got named to the all-tournament team, but I think it's Will Richard. Like the way that Will Richard, the jump that he's made from his junior to senior year, and obviously Clayton has made an incredible jump as well. He also switched to a new position. But I just you know, Clayton obviously deservedly so gets all and the majority of the hype. I think a lot of it goes to Alex Condon as well. I think Tommy Howe coming off the bench is somebody that kind of fans love, and I think media appreciates kind of what he brings to the Florida team. You know, Elijah Martin would be the next guy, I think, in Florida's backcourt that probably and deservedly so gets a lot of praise and attention. And he coming over as a transfer from FAU along with Chinyelu has taken Florida's defense to the next level. And so I think because of that, Martin gets a lot of credit. Will Richard is the one guy that maybe just to me doesn't get as much as a Clayton or a Condon or a Martin. And what the moments that he's had this season, the performances that he's put on, the fact that he battled all year with that toe injury that held him back in some games where he was scoreless or wasn't as much of a factor, you know, hit the game winner against South Carolina, went off obviously in the SEC tournament to get named to the all tournament team, and has just made so many plays. He does it on defense. He does it in a passing aspect. Some of the alley-oops that he threw in Nashville were ridiculous. Will Richard would be my guy to that question.
That's a great pick. And I think, am I using the word right, a seminal moment, an important moment in the season was the comeback in South Carolina.
Yeah.
Nobody even thinks about that anymore because of all the big wins that came after it. But let me ask you this. Walter Clayton, by the way, who was the recipient of one of those incredible alley-oop passes. I don't remember who made it. Walter Clayton's alley-oop dunk that he had in one of those games in Nashville where the 6'1", 6'2 guard was above the rim was incredible. But let's talk about Walter Clayton for a second. Obviously, he gets a lot of attention, but we should point out on Tuesday, again, he was named first-team Associated Press All-American. Now, first-team AP All-America team included Jani Broome of Auburn, who's the SEC Player of the Year, Cooper Flagg of Duke, maybe the favorite for National Player of the Year, Alabama guard Mark Sears, and Purdue guard Braden Smith. It's an elite group, Zach, all time in Florida history. There's only been 7 players that earned either first, second, or third team All-American from one of the consensus selectors. So, yes, Vernon Maxwell was honorable mention All-America. Dwayne Shinchus was probably honorable mention All-America, but never first, second, or excuse me, only 7 guys that were first, second, or third team. And here's the guys. Neil Walk in 68 and 69, Udonis Haslam, Joakim Noah, Hal Horford, Scotty Wilbekin, and now the first-team All-American, Walter Clayton. Now, Neil Walk, for those that may not know, was the number 2 overall draft pick in the NBA draft behind Lou Alcindor, who became Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He was a second-team All-American as a junior, third-team All-American as a senior, because Lou Alcindor was the best player in college basketball history, possibly. But it's a great list that Walter Clayton joins, and even greater when you think that he's the first-team All-American. Like that.
Yeah.
I mean, they're only picking 5 dudes, man. 5 the whole country. I mean, and it shows where the program is, the amount of respect the program's getting, how many clutch shots he hit, how he could take over a game. This is a guy that transitioned. I mean, I'm saying everything you need to be saying here, but transitioned from shooting guard to point guard.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a historic season for him, Zach. I stole your thunder there. I get so excited about Walter Clayton. What can you add to that?
Yeah. I mean, he's the best player that I've probably been able to witness in the O-Dome as growing up in Gainesville or covering covering games. I mean, I don't know who I could put over him. I mean, I go all the way back to the Eddie Shannon days. That was kind of my early memories of Florida basketball. Obviously, Jason Williams was incredible, but only played 13 games.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's just been. He's done to come to Florida and put this program on the map and kind of be the guy that they brought to be the leader of this team. All the questions that there were in the offseason about what's Florida going to do to replace Zion Pullen. There are all these guards that they were in the mix for in the portal. They didn't really get a point, and everybody was trying to figure out, was it going to be a point guard by committee? Like, how's it going to work? Because the one time that Clayton had an opportunity to run point early in the season when Zion Pullen was serving his suspension, he had a rough game against Virginia, I believe it was. And so that was something that was kind of lingering there for him to come and kind of put that to bed with the way that he's performed at the point guard position, has had multiple games with 8-9 assists. He had a stretch there where he went, you know, I want to say it was like over a dozen games without scoring 20 plus, which is not the norm for him. He scored 20 plus in four of the last five games. When it's time for him to turn it on, and when he needs to score, he usually does. He had that 33-point performance in Lexington. But he has scaled back some of his offense to showcase some of his other abilities. He had just an absolute ridiculous alley-oop to Condon in the SEC tournament. I think it was against Alabama. But, I mean, came off from the top of the key, looked it off. It was almost a no-look alley. And some of the passes and plays that he's made this year, just ridiculous. He hasn't lost any of his offensive game or his shooting ability. The logo threes have been repeated throughout the season. So he's the legacy that he's leaving, Keith. He's going to go down as one of the greatest players in Florida basketball history. And yeah. I don't know if they're ever going to put a brick in front of the arena, but he'd be the first one to get it.
Well, you know, it's so much harder to be a first-team All-American in basketball. I mean, again, five, some years they pick six, but I mean, there's – and every school's got a basketball team. In football, there's really – you got 100-and-something major, but some of those schools aren't really major. They're not Florida, Georgia, Alabama level.
Sure.
You know, and that basketball, Creighton, Xavier, Duquesne, Gonzaga, Butler, Grand Canyon, St. Mary's, Pepperdine, UC Santa Barbara. I mean, everybody's got somebody that played in the NBA that probably at one time or another could have been an All-American. I started thinking about this, Zach. What makes him so great, I was looking for player comparisons in Florida history. I came up with one, then another, and it really with Walter Clayton. I think he takes a lot of the best parts of some of the best players in school history and puts it all together. So go back to the 80s. Andrew Moton could shoot deep and could drive. Well, that's Walter Clayton, but he shoots at a higher percentage than he does, and his team's much better, and he's taller and more athletic. Vernon Maxwell, one of the streakiest shooters you've ever seen. And when Walter Clayton came, he'll go through stretches where he'll miss six or seven three-pointers in a row, then he'll make five in a row. So he's that. He's Vernon Maxwell. He can score from anywhere on the court. He's Dan Cross, 1994 final team. Dan Cross's clutch deep three-pointers that beat buzzers, that touch into the break at the half with a big shot and some momentum. He's Dan Cross. He's Scotty Wilbekin at times with his ability to see the whole court. And then he plays pretty good defense. I mean, he's just a good all-around player. I wouldn't say
he's got some shades of Anthony Robertson too. You know,
he really does. He really does. And I will say this. Yeah, I think I forgot what I was going to say. He's got a little bit of everything to him. He really he took all the best traits from the best players, and he's got – when you needed a three-pointer, you knew Cross was going to make it. When you need a three-pointer – I said this the other night when Tennessee was getting close, it was getting to that danger zone. They're getting it down five.
Yeah, they cut it to five twice.
And they needed somebody to make a shot. He was that guy. And it's really remarkable to see. He's certainly become a Gator legend. A Gator great. To be the legend, though, I think now is the next thing. What can he do in tournament time? And what can the team do in tournament time? But fantastic. Zach, you've got another ad read to do, I believe.
I do, yes. Definitely want to encourage all Florida fans, if you haven't, to go visit roback.com. The only way to describe Roback is the best fit and best feel. For those who aren't familiar with Roback, they're completely changing the game with their incredibly comfortable activewear. They've released so many items with their new licensed game day collection, novel polo designs, clean hoodie and Q-zip designs from some of your favorite schools, including the Florida Gators. Nobody else on the market is pairing these level of custom designs with this quality of activewear. Roback's everyday shorts or their Delta Performance pants are the perfect pairing as well. Roback has been proudly leading the NIL charge, having signed partnerships with multiple stars, past and present, and are becoming the go-to brand for college athletes across the country. Use the code GATORS20 on roback.com for a generous 20% off all new customers. That's spelled ROBACK.com. 20% off all performance polos, shorts, and more with the code GATORS20. Exactly. Got the, year.
Yeah, look at that. Roback. I mean, this thing, I love t-shirt hoodies. And this is thick, though. I'm going to Scotland next week. This will be used on the golf course. This is nice and warm, but not too heavy. I love it. They don't even pay me to say it. I just love it. It feels good. I love t-shirt hoodies, and this is the most comfortable one I've ever worn. Zach, it's almost NCAA tournament time. Friday up in Raleigh, North Carolina, where I know you're going to be getting some barbecue while you're up there. Great basketball area. Tobacco Road, the Florida Gators play Norfolk State in the first round of the NCAA tournament. They got a tough bracket, though. What the? I mean, there's some. I mean, everybody does. Look, they're all tough. There's no layups. But what can the what do you think? Just your general overall thoughts on Florida's bracket in the West, and then I'll talk a little bit about Norfolk State.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting draw. I think everybody expected them to be in the West the way that the season. And kind of the projections were playing out. However, you know, Florida did end the season ranked higher than Auburn in the AP poll. Todd said in Nashville after they beat Auburn that he thought, when I asked him, that they should be in the mix for the second or third one seed. And he thought that talk of them still fighting for the fourth one seed was ridiculous. But nonetheless, that's the seed that they got. They are in the West. They end up going to Raleigh, which was his preference for the first two rounds for Florida to end up. You know, he wanted to stay in the Eastern time zone. He likes being able to be up in North Carolina and playing that environment. So that's where Florida's heading. If they can obviously take care of business in the first round, which they need to, can't take anything for granted, but that is the first hump that they got to get over. They will meet either UConn or Oklahoma in the second round. And obviously they've already beat the Sooners this season in Gainesville. I picked UConn to win that first game. I think that's who Florida will face in the second round if they advance. And obviously, you know, not the elite title team that we've seen from them recently, but that's still an elite program and is going to be a tough matchup for Florida. If they can get it done and make it to the Sweet 16, you're potentially looking at teams like Memphis or Maryland, unless there's an upset by Colorado State or Grand Canyon, to meet Florida in San Francisco, which is honestly, you know, they could have ended up some other regions for Todd Golden specifically to end up with a chance to go play in San Francisco where he came from and kind of just kind of revisit that. I just think it's a cool storyline, right? And obviously if he can get there, I think that'll be a little bit special for him personally. But there will be some difficult teams that are awaiting them if they can get to that point. And then some other teams on their side of the bracket, obviously St. John's is the one that stands out the most to Florida fans that have looked at it, you know, because of the Rick Pitino tie with Walter Clayton and obviously how good St. John's has been. You got a couple SEC teams as well in the West with the Gators, Arkansas and Missouri. I know a lot of people are thinking Missouri might be able to make a run and potentially – face Florida in the Elite Eight. So we'll see. You got Kansas in there. There's some talented teams, Texas Tech. So it's not an easy bracket by any means, or region, should I say.
No, there's no gimmies once you can maybe get past the first round. But again, some first round opponents are tough. Now, in the history of the NCAA tournament, since they went to this, you know, 64 plus teams, only two 16 seeds have ever beaten one seeds, but they happened fairly recently. So let's take a quick look at Norfolk State, Florida's first round opponent, Zach. It's an interesting program. They got a pretty solid record, 24-10, went 11-3 in the MEAC. They're coached by Robert Jones. This is his 12th season at Norfolk State. He's 236-158, which is almost a 60% winning percentage. Excellent program. He's got six 20-win seasons, Zach, including each of the last four seasons. He's led the Spartans to the NCAA tournament a few times. And, you know, the guy's done a pretty good job. Now, their net ranking is only 183. They're only 0-2 in quad one games, but 1-2 in quad two games. The biggest win this season for Norfolk State came against High Point, which is a team that reached the NCAA tournament and has a net ranking of 82. That's a good quality win for a team in the MEAC. Now, they also have a pretty solid loss in here that's sort of an eye-opener to people who follow the SEC. Back on December 31st, the Spartans of Norfolk State lost to then number one Tennessee in Knoxville by only 15 points, and they only trailed by 7.5. The flip side of that is they have a couple head-scratching losses. They fell to Morgan State, which is only, get this, Zach, number 332 in the net rankings. I mean, if you're outside the top 300, you're probably not very good. But the team's won 8 of its last 10 games, and they've got a few pretty good players. The main guy everybody's going to want to know about is Brian Moore, 6'2" senior guard from New York City. Average of, well, so many good players come out of there. Averages 18.5 points a game, and he's a transfer from Murray State, which, you know, obviously Murray State plays a lot of big-name programs. Points per game, they average 77 points a game, only give up 69. Field goal shooting, they shoot at a much higher clip than they allow, 48% to 41%, and they're okay from three-point range, 33%. In the tournament history for the Spartans, Zach, they've 4 NCAA tournament appearances. They're 2-3. In 2012, they actually upset the number 2 seed Missouri in the opening round and lost to Florida the next game by 34 points. So it's a good, solid program. And for you historians, 4-time NBA All-Star Bob Dandridge from the 60s and 70s played there, 15,000 career points. So, look, it's a proud program, and Coach Jones has done an excellent job there. But you wouldn't think – look, Florida's got everything, right? You wouldn't think they would be much of a challenge, but you can't take anybody for granted. You know, this is – I mean, it happened to Virginia a couple years ago, right? And it happened to Purdue a few years ago. And so those 16 seeds feel like they actually have a chance these days, where maybe 15 years ago they didn't.
Yeah, and obviously, I mean, this is their national championship game, going up against Florida, having an opportunity to be a team that knocks off a one seed. And, you know, they've got, you know, one guy in their lineup, Brian Moore Jr. I mean, he's averaging 18.4 points per game. He's certainly someone that can turn it up and kind of be a problem for Florida. They're certainly going to have to key their defense around him. We got to hear from Todd Golden in Gainesville after returning back from Nashville with that SEC title. He talked about their first round draw. And, you know, at the time, they hadn't really delved deep into their breakdown yet, but he has at least watched them and kind of looked into their team. What impressed him was their field goal percentage that they had on both sides of the ball, how well they shoot it, and how they're able to kind of keep teams at a low percentage. He said that they do a good job turning teams over. As he looks at the matchup with Florida, he's hopeful that their size and their physicality is what's going to wear them down a little bit. But to your point, Keith, he said at this point, any team that makes the tournament is dangerous and has different aspects and qualities that makes them challenging. He says Norfolk State is not going to be any different in that light.
Yeah, you know, when you look ahead, you were breaking down the bracket, and man, I mean, you know, I think sometimes we fall into the trap of looking at the names, you know, UConn, but they are only the 8th seed for a reason. They did not have a great year, so theoretically Florida should be better than UConn. The game after that, to me, is where it would really, really get tricky if in fact you get past Norfolk State and UConn or Oklahoma. That Maryland team, Zach, is interesting because they're 25-8. When you look at their losses, they don't have a loss of more than 6 points. So they've been competitive even when they've lost. Like, even Florida got blown out in that horrible game at Tennessee, and even Tennessee got blown out in that horrible game at Florida. So that's a consistent team that is playing ranked teams every other game, because the Big Ten is still very solid. Maybe didn't have the 3 or 4 elite teams like the SEC did. But Maryland's a good, solid team. Look, at some point you're going to have to play somebody good. You're going to have to beat somebody good to move on. You look back to Florida's second Final Four team in the 99-2000 season, and I believe, didn't they have to beat Duke in the Sweet 16 game?
That's right.
You know, I mean, you're looking at that bracket when it comes down, you're like, well, at least we're getting to the Sweet 16, right? And because Florida was only a 4 seed, if my memory is correct, a 4 or 5 seed. And they beat Duke, and then, quite frankly, Zach ran them out of the gym that night with Mike Miller and Donnell Harvey.
That's right.
Donnell Harvey ran them out of the gym. And then, I believe, beat Oklahoma State in the Elite Eight game to go to the Final Four, where they had to play North Carolina in the Final Four. So, you know, you're going to have to beat somebody good. And you know what? I'd rather have that tough road and know at the end of the day that you really, really earned it when you got there, you know. And, you know, we'll see. I mean, some of the best Florida teams that went the furthest needed some breaks in those early rounds. The Mike Miller team had to have the Mike Miller layup to beat Butler.
100%.
Otherwise, they don't go to the Final Four. But this team, Zach, just looks so complete. And you know, you got the star power in Clayton and Condon. You've got the unsung hero, like you said, Will Richard. I thought that was a brilliant pick by you, by the way. But you've got everything. Have you seen a more? I mean, we don't know every team's ins and outs, but have you seen a more complete, well-rounded team than this Florida team this year?
Not more. I mean, I think the only team that you look at and for sure would be a challenge for Florida to me would be Duke, healthy and at 100%. We don't know what that's going to look like with Cooper Flagg. So obviously there's other teams in this tournament that could challenge Florida if they meet up in San Antonio. But like somebody asked me, you know, how Florida matches up with some of these potential opponents and how they might be able to deal with that and kind of face that challenge. And I don't know how you feel, Keith, but I really don't know what Florida could go up against in the tournament from a environment standpoint or from a team talent standpoint that's going to be anything more than what they face in SEC play. I mean, yeah. Having to play at Auburn and win, having to play at Alabama and win, having to play in Nashville three straight games, two against teams that beat you in the regular season and win all three. I mean, Florida's going to face some tests, I'm sure, in the tournament. And there may be some moments where they got to pull out maybe a game that they haven't performed their best in or whatever the case may be. But they are 100% battle-tested going into this tournament. And I just don't know that any matchup or any moment is going to be big for them.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of these places they're going. San Francisco presents an interesting challenge because of the time change and you're far away from home and all that. But you've got a coach to live there.
Yeah,
he knows 100%. What the time change does to the body. He knows how much time you need to get back to normal body wise. He knows where to eat out there. He's probably that friend. I think that will be a trip where his local knowledge will actually help, things that we take for granted as fans. Just knowing he'll have friends out there. He'll know how to keep them loose during the day. Here's some things we're going to do. He knows the 100%. Lay of the land. I don't think that hurts. I also like the tie to Raleigh for a kind of a historic reason for me. That's the city where Norm Sloan, the former Gator coach, led NC State to one of its two basketball championships. So I like that too. That's going to be proximity to home, 7.5-hour drive. Obviously, they're going to be flying, but you know, not far. There'll be a lot of Florida people there. When you look at the bracket, who they're playing there, there's going to be a lot of Florida people there. That is a state with a lot of Florida people. There's Charlotte Gator clubs. There's Raleigh Durham Gator clubs. It's an easy drive from Jacksonville. It's an easy drive from Gainesville if you don't get a flight. So I think the Gators are going to be well represented there. I think it's going to feel like a good – it won't be like it was in Nashville against Tennessee. Let's put it that way.
Or the Jumpman Invitational.
So, yeah, exactly. Well, that's right. So many teams this time of year get tight. When I think of tight, I always think of Florida football in the early 80s against Georgia. They had a really tight head coach, and they played tight against Georgia, and they lost every year. Todd's not like that. His team looks loose out there, man. Zach, you're there. I've only been to the two games, the Auburn game and the Ole Miss game. They look like a fun-loving, loose group. Is that a benefit this time of year? What's this group like? What's their mindset like? You're around them.
Yeah, you know, Todd had a great line in the Gator Boys YouTube series that they have released on Florida's YouTube channel. If you have not watched it yet, go check it out. Brandy Mickens has his hands all over that, and everybody knows that has followed Florida's video content that when he's working on something, it's elite. So he's been on the road with the Gators all season long. He's been following them, and they just released this series on YouTube this week. So go check that out. But Todd had a line in there where he said that this group of players does a great job of kind of carrying themselves with confidence, but not necessarily being too cocky or, letting that go to their heads. And it's a delicate balance that you walk when you you know, walk on the court every single time and feel like you're going to win, but also have the humility that you need to be able to make sure that you're working on the things that you need to do as a team and individually throughout the year, especially coming off of a loss. And I do think that they've got the right mix of that. I think that the veteran leadership that they have, look, I mean, this is going to be very important right now, Keith, because I wrote about it after their media availability on Tuesday. They are now getting all this love that they haven't ever gotten before. Yes, they were ranked high. Yes, a lot of people recognize some of the wins that they had during the season, but not everybody was picking them to win the national championship like has been the case. I mean, the entire ESPN game day crew picked Florida to win the national championship, all four of them. So Florida's dealing with that hype now. And I just think they've got the right mix of guys that don't let stuff like that get to their head. You know, if there's four guys on ESPN that are picking them to win it all, if they are going to listen to anything, it's going to be the, I think, the guy from CBS Sports that predicted that they're not going to make it out of the first weekend. They'll find little things that they can find, like the SEC awards that we mentioned, the way that he played it up with the players to make them feel like they got snubbed. Whatever you got to do to give your team that edge, you know, the stuff that, you know, we know Nick Saban did with his Alabama players. Nobody thinks you're going to win. Everybody thinks they're going to win. I just think that they toe that line really well. Guys like Elijah Martin are just not going to let that team get big-headed, and that's what you need this time of year.
And he knows what it takes to get there, obviously. The Final Four has to deal with FAU. Now, one of the things that's interesting, Zach, is I'm looking on our message board, and I just sent you a text, Zach, so make sure you check that out. But that's how we have to communicate when we do the show. But, you know, on our message board, I saw there's a whole thread, and somebody at Gators Online, somebody said, man, I hate that everybody's picking us to win. And I'm thinking, you wanted respect all year, and now you're upset that everybody's picking you to win. I mean, you know, come on. I mean, you can't have it both ways, but it was just funny. But this looks like a team, Zach. You know, you look back to the teams, the five previous Florida teams. I can't believe I'm saying this, by the way, that five Florida teams have been to the Final Four. And now maybe potentially, hopefully, a sixth. A program that for years couldn't get out of its own way. Now, sure. up until the late 70s, only the conference champion got into the NCAA tournament. And there was a great Gators team out of the 60s that easily could have been a national title contender. I think it was a 66-67 team that went 21-4. And they could have easily competed with the UCLAs and those schools for a national title. They didn't get to the NCAA tournament. But think about where this program has come and to where it is now. With now it's – look, Lon Kruger to the Final Four, Billy, I figured his name, Billy Napier, not Billy Napier, Billy Donovan. See what I mean? So many Billies. So you've had two coaches, Lon Kruger and Billy Donovan, lead Florida to the Final Four, and maybe now, hopefully, a third again. It's amazing. The program is man, you've got to give these guys credit. They're identifying, I mean, to identify three coaches to get this program to this level in the last 30 years is a hell of an accomplishment for the University of Florida. I know Scott Strickland catches a lot of flack from fans, the current Florida athletic director, but he did identify this talent, and they have a proven, Zach, they have a method. If you look back at every Florida coach they've hired since like 1960, with the exception of Norm Sloan coming back for his second time at Florida, they all fit the same mold of being a guy under 40, and it's just worked. I mean, you say it didn't work with Mike White. Well, hell, he made it to an Elite Eight once. I mean, he didn't stink. He just didn't get Florida back to where Billy Donovan had the program. Sure. So they've got this great system, and Todd Golden looks like just a superstar emerging here. You're getting the best of Todd Golden. People say, Zach, should we go get a guy that's real experienced and already been in the Final Four like Jay Wright, or should you get a guy that's on his way up? And if you look at the history of Florida athletics, the best coaches they've signed have been guys on the way up. Billy Donovan had never been to the Final Four as a coach. He was on the way up, right? Urban Meyer was at Utah. He was on the way up, okay?
Yeah. Steve Spurrier.
Steve Spurrier, exactly. And I just I everything that this guy is, he's just energized the program, the community, and this team was beautifully put together. Zach, just before we get in, we're going to do this every week, by the way, but how do you feel like the first weekend of the NCAA tournament is going to shape up? Who do you think they're going to play? You mentioned it earlier, but go ahead and give us a little bit of a breakdown here.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think no matter who you put in front of Florida that first game, no matter what 16 seed it was, this team has to take care of business, especially coming off of the way last season ended with the loss to Colorado. They obviously have much bigger goals and aspirations from this tournament, but they want to get that first win. They want to get that monkey off their back, I think. I don't know if they feel that way about it, but it is something that I think that they're going to go in there and play well. I do think that they are going to face UConn in that second round, and I think that it might probably be a tougher matchup than it would be against Oklahoma, which they beat handedly in Gainesville. But look, man, if you want to know how I feel about where Florida's going to go, I've already booked my tickets to San Francisco. So that tells you what you need to know. Obviously, we got a protection plan, but I think that this team is at least headed for that trip.
Maybe you just really like In-N-Out Burger and we're going anywhere. Interesting. You got to read an ad. So let's get to that and then we'll wrap up.
Okay. Yeah. 100%. As we do each and every week, want to give a shout out to myperfectfranchise.net and our guy Andy, which got to help out Keith recently, and he has some exciting news that he's announced this spring at myperfectfranchise.net. Because he's a big baseball fan, and from his line of work, he's seen firsthand the fantastic traits that baseball players bring to the franchise world. Andy is offering up to a donation of $500 to $1,000 to Florida's Baseball NIL Collective, Florida Victorious. If anyone from our site at Gators Online purchases a franchise, we think it's a cool opportunity to help the baseball program. Now's the perfect time to contact Andy to learn more. His services are 100% free, and he's here to help if you have any questions about business ownership. Head to myperfectfranchise.net to learn more, or you can call or text Andy anytime at 404-973-9901.
And before we get back to basketball, I just want to say I got another. Look, I wear the Roback, and I can promote myperfectfranchise.net now. I spoke to Andy on the phone the other day. Some buddies of mine and I are interested. I'm not going to get into the details here. Someday, maybe. So interested in maybe looking at some franchise opportunities. And Andy was great. First class all the way, super nice. And you could tell he was actually in it, Zach, for me. Like, he was excited talking to me because he could hear the enthusiasm in my voice. So I would encourage anybody that's looking at this type of opportunity in the franchise market to give him a call. It was low stress. You're intimidated by a lot of these things. You know, like, what do I do? Where do I go? What's my next move? And it was low stress. I just want to say that. So, Andy, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. And hopefully we can do something moving forward. And I can quit this miserable job and stop working with Zach and open my own business. Yeah. Honestly, it was great. Hey, Zach, I'm looking at this early bracket. And, you know, Oklahoma and UConn each have coaches with Final Four experience, right? I mean, early, you've got two national titles, and Moser, am I pronouncing that right? The coach at Oklahoma was at Illinois Chicago with Sister Jean. Am I getting all that right?
That's right.
So it's a fun bracket. It's a great time of year. Zach, before we take this out, give me one guy. There's always an unsung hero. Always an unsung hero for a Florida team that makes it far. The first Sweet 16 for Florida, Zach, this before you were born. A guy named Melvin Jones, who few people have ever heard of, came up big in a huge upset win over Purdue for the Gators back in 1987. I think it was 87. You just weren't expecting anything, and the guy ended up pulling down like 7-8 rebounds in a major shocker over a very good Purdue team coached by the great Gene Kane. Who is one guy? You mentioned Will Richard earlier. He's a starter. Is there a guy off the bench, or is there a guy that you think, man, you know what? Keep an eye on this guy. He might be primed to do something, and if he does, Florida's going to be hard to beat.
Well, I got two for you, but the main one that I want to say, and I'm excited to say it because I think everybody is aware of how he's made Florida better, but I do think that the potential is there for him to have maybe even a bigger impact than he's had recently, although he's put up some impressive numbers in the action already. That's Micah Handlock. I think a 7-foot-1 center coming off the bench, making Florida's front court rotation even deeper and providing presence that he does in the paint. Keith, he played 14 minutes against Alabama and had 10 rebounds. 10 rebounds in 14 minutes. You know, I could point to guys like, you know, Denzel Aberdeen and Thomas Howe. I think those guys could easily have some moments in the tournament where they're the difference for Florida in a game. But that's not going to surprise anybody. I do think that we might see some moments in the tournament where Micah off the bench makes some huge plays or grabs some huge rebounds and just some critical possessions for Florida where they're going to be glad that that guy is out there on the floor and not deciding to sit back and take the red shirt. And another guy, I don't know when it's going to happen, Keith. I don't know what round, but I think Urban or Irby, as Todd Golden likes to call him, is going to come up with some big three-pointers at some point, man. He's done it throughout SEC play since he started to get some more minutes, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if there's a game where he splashes in two or three.
I love the Hanglogden pick. I hope I'm pronouncing his last name right.
Yep.
And I'll tell you why, because foul trouble matters in the NCAA tournament. And look, the team I used to cover that nobody likes me talking about, that's the number one overall seed, if Jani Groom is in foul trouble or has to exit a game early and it's a tight game, they're in trouble. They're in trouble. If Alex Condon gets in foul trouble or Chinyelu gets in foul trouble, well, look, it's not ideal. But look who you're bringing in.
Yeah.
Look who you're bringing in.
I mean, he was a starter last year, all season.
That's right. And what makes it so interesting for Florida is you can say that about all five positions.
Yeah.
They've got somebody that can come off the bench in a pinch, whether there's an injury, God forbid, or foul trouble, and they don't really – their drop-off isn't that big. In fact, sometimes the backup may come in and Aberdeen –
provide a spark.
He may have a sharper shooting day than the guy that was starting. So there's so many critical pieces here, and now Todd Golden has had an entire season to figure out which combinations work and don't work. They are, and I totally get why people see them as a team that's most dangerous. It doesn't mean they're going to win the whole thing. We don't know. Let's hope they do. We don't know for sure. But they are the team that's the most complete team. It's the team that loses the least when a guy gets hurt, loses the least when a guy's in foul trouble. It's so well balanced. Zach, great job, my man. For Zach Alberti, I am Keith Niebuhr. This was the Gators Online Show. Make sure you go to GatorsOnline.com the rest of this week and into the weekend. Zach is going to be up in Raleigh, North Carolina on Tobacco Road, checking out the NCAA tournament. Let's see what these guys can do. It's been an exciting regular season, and now it's postseason time. We'll do it again next week. Zach, thank you so much. Great job as always. Thank you to everybody for listening. Don't forget to hit the like button and subscribe to our YouTube channel. And also, as I mentioned, go to GatorsOnline.com. We've always got good sign-up specials. Basketball recruiting, football team, football recruiting intel. We've got you covered. Take care, everybody. Have a great rest of your week, and go Gators.